Okay, today we continue trying to bring us into this awareness and understanding of the need to develop intimacy with the Spirit of God in our sharing with the men. Part of what I'm sharing with men is what the Lord told me to insert. It wasn't in this sermon, but the Lord told me to insert it in this sermon. And we're talking about overcoming hindrances to developing intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Overcoming hindrances to developing intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Our text is Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Revelation 12, verse 11. And, oh Lord, thank you, Father. Brethren, let me tell you, if you came here with any sickness, you are not going with it. I'm telling you for real. You are not what? You are going with it. It's gone. You are free. You are free. Tell your neighbor what I said. Okay, now tell your neighbor from yourself. Not that I said it, tell your neighbor. I am free. Yeah. You guys are going to see a lot of stuff that is going to be happening among you. Your mind will be blown because the Spirit of God is very powerful. Very, very powerful. There's nothing it doesn't do. So Revelation 12:11, and overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. They overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb, and they loved, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now, Moses, like I was telling the men yesterday, was a man who understood very well the importance of the presence of the Spirit of God with a man. He knew the importance of this. He understood very well that he needed this. And so in Exodus 33, verse 15, he said, in Exodus 33, verse 15, then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will Exodus 33:15 is what I'm reading. And I'm reading New Living Translation. Not Exodus 12:13. Exodus 33:15. And he said, and then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people, if you don't do what? Go with us. For your presence, church, your presence among us sets your people and me what? Apart from all other people on the earth. This man knew it. He says, what will set you apart from any other person is the presence of the Spirit of God with you. With you. This man knew this very, very well. He understood that. So in verse 16, in verse 17, the Lord replied to Moses, I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you, and I know you by name. Now, in spite of the fact, church, that Israel was in covenant already with God, God says, yes, I know you. You are my people. I have a covenant with you. Moses said, these things, this covenant and things will not manifest except your presence makes it happen. I want you to get it clear. Covenant with God, favored by God, blessed in Christ, favored in Christ. Except the Spirit of God comes to manifest these things in real life, you will see them. That's what Moses was saying. So verse 18, Moses responded, then show me your glorious what? Presence. I want to know your presence. I want to be intimate with you. I want to have intimacy with you. I want to know you. Show me your presence. I want to understand it. And you understand that when David did what he did, the prayer he was praying to God, he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Why was he saying that? Because David knew that even if I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil for one reason. That would be. And when he went to face Goliath, he knew divine presence. Because he said, this day the world will know
that there's a God where? In Israel. That God is present here. He knew. And I'm not going to go further to show you how everybody that ever walked in power and victory, they honored and respected and desired strongly the presence of God with them. You can talk of Joseph. What made the difference? The Lord was with Joseph. When Jesus came, the same thing. They said, you know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing what? All that were. Why? For the Lord. And the Jews said, nobody can do what you are doing except the Lord is with him. And Jesus said so. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is what? Upon me. He has anointed me to do all of these things. You see happening. So Moses had that strong desire to have intimacy with the Spirit of God. And that's what I'm trying to preach here, that God is bringing our way to me and to you, that we must have this kind of desire that Moses has. If you don't have desire, you won't develop it. If you don't have desire, believe you me, you won't develop it. If you are satisfied where you are, you won't go further. What creates improvement is hunger. If you thirst, you go for drinking. If you don't thirst, you don't ask for water. So if you're satisfied with coming to church and going, think you got it made, good luck to you. But if you want to see, if you want your good to be better and best, you need to know him more. Praise the Lord. You need to what? Know him more. You need to know his presence. You need, like Moses, to say, Lord, show me your presence. I want to understand how to be intimate with your spirit, to commune with your spirit daily. Because if you don't go with me, if I don't know him, if I don't discern him, I'm going to do this with my own understanding and will mess me up big time. Will mess me up big time. I've told you here that people create their own religion, thinking it's God. So if we know that this thing is very important, then we should really desire it. And you know, the Spirit of God that Jesus sent to us is to show us Jesus in real time. I want to make a statement here, and I trust the Lord will help you understand it. It's not enough to talk about Jesus. The Bible tells us that the kingdom of God is not just in words, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. It's not enough to talk about Jesus. You must experience Jesus yourself. It's not enough to talk about Jesus. Quote scriptures. No. That scripture prepares you to now have experience. Experiencing the Lord himself. When we talk, when we preach the gospel, we say we're leading people to the Lord. What you're saying is, I want to bring you to have experience of Jesus that is alive. That is real. That is living. Ever-present help. The God we serve is a God that is ever present, can be experienced. Can be experienced, church. That experiential relationship makes all the difference for you. And that's how Jesus preached the gospel himself. He was here physically. People were experiencing him. And they were experiencing him. And then when he left, he sent his spirit. So that it's the same Spirit of God. When Jesus was here, he was Emmanuel, God with us. When he left, he sent his spirit, still Emmanuel, God with us. The Christian must have experience of the reality of the living Lord that is alive. Not talking in your mental realm what you have not seen. The writer of the scripture says, what we have seen, what we have touched, what we have experienced is what we are talking about. The Holy Spirit came. Jesus left. The Spirit came. So what Jesus was doing when he was here in physical, his Spirit is doing right now. As I'm talking to you, he's right here. To give us the same experience that his disciples had when he was physically here. Now, because he's here by his Spirit, he's no more limited to a small location. That's why you can't think of God using you only in church. That's so limited. How many hours are you in church? God uses you in church and mostly outside the church. In your homes, in your job. We always think things about God is only church. Church is to prepare you to go and do the work of the ministry. The Spirit of God uses you more outside than inside. A lot more outside. But because we have this church mentality and outside church mentality, so when we are coming to church, we put on our holiness dress. Immediately we go home, we drop it off. No. The Bible says you are taught and you are prepared for the work of the ministry outside there. I send you a sheep among the wolves. There's no wolf here. They're out there. Praise the Lord. And it's not the pastor that does it for you. He teaches you. And you go and now go and do the work. The Spirit of God uses. I was telling it on Thursday. We don't use the Spirit of God. He uses us. You must erase that thing in your head. Somebody thinks I have the anointing. Come on, give me a break. The Bible says we must make ourselves vessels that worthy of his use. Vessels he can use. Honorable vessels he can use. We are not the ones that are at work in him. He's the one at work in us. We must clean up that stuff. So that's why we develop all this, you know, see all I'm doing for God. Only me, they do this. Only me, only me, only me. It's not you, my friend. Sit down. When Solomon was talking about building him a temple, he said, what house will you build me, Solomon? My hand does all these things. I'm the one doing it. So the Spirit of God is here to make Jesus real. 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 Words. Words. Word. Word. We introduce you to, come here. Words. The words. The Spirit of God will reveal him to you so that it goes from ordinary words to seeing him yourself and knowing he's real. He's real. He's risen. He's no more in the grave. It's not a story. It's a reality. And he says, I will always be with you. I will never leave you. I will not forsake you. It's not something you just talk of in Sunday school. It's a reality that you should experience 24/7. And that's what the Spirit of God does. He makes you experience the living Christ because he is the Spirit of Christ. He is the Spirit of God. So he gives you that experience of the reality of Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is. That's how every Christian lives his life. That's what Moses was saying. If I don't know your presence, I won't be everything you want me to be. We can't go. We need you. We need the Spirit of God so that he can do everything that Jesus died for us to be and to have and to experience. And then now when you talk to people, you talk from conviction of what you have touched, what you have experienced, what you know. It's not that Chinedu told you. You can tell your story now. Come on, church. You can tell your story now. You are going to church. It's no more wheelbarrow. Nobody is pushing you because you know in whom you believe. When the chiefs are down, you remember what you... David said, I saw, he said, are you kidding me? I've experienced God. My brother, thank you. He said, are you kidding me? He said, I was in the wilderness and the bear came. Who else came? Yeah. He said, I saw God do stuff. I experienced God myself. You're not telling me anything. He said, you see this Goliath? He's going the same way these other ones went. And all of them who didn't have the same experience with David were running. They didn't know God. That's why the Bible said, those who know their God, they shall be strong and do exploit. They don't know God, nothing. David wasn't looking for a prophet. Wasn't looking for everybody to do anything. He said, no. He said, God is here. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He said, look at him. Even talking to the armies of the living God. How old was David? 12 years old. And remember, Saul was a man of war. Saul was a real warrior. When Saul died, David prayed, talked so much. He said, the weapons of war has perished in Israel. Say, who can be like this guy? Saul fought incredible battles. He dealt with Philistines. This Philistine, he dealt with them mercilessly. Remember when they made him king? He said, if you don't come out, he said, tomorrow I come to your family, deal with your family. Brought out the whole Israel, went and wiped this people out. Saul was a warrior, a born warrior. Man, he was a warrior. He ran. Because he hasn't experienced the reality of the living God that was in their midst. But David said, he is here. There's a God in Israel. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings into a reality where your testimony will be, I know he is what? Here. Not telling me anything. He's here. He's real. Before you come to church, he talks to you about the service. But he tells you what to pray about. Do you know you're supposed to know what will happen in the service before you come? Didn't the Bible say he will show you things to come? Which one has he shown you? Which one have you seen since you became a Christian? Praise the Lord. Didn't even know how the last election will end. But he told some people. He told me. I was in Canada. I told over and over. I was in Canada. He told me. He said, I will use foolish things to confound the white. He said, watch the day after election. America will be in shock. I told Chuka. He said, no, why Chuka? Chuka. I told him. I said, watch. He didn't tell me to tell everybody because people, I told you, right? Remember? Okay. I came back. I said, don't. They will kill me. Even right now, you should know what's happening. I'm not kidding. Christians don't know nothing. So the Spirit of God came to give us this experience of Christ. So it's not just talking about Jesus. So Jesus becomes real. Look, that's why Paul was so angry with the Galatians. He said, are you serious? He said, the Spirit of God brought you into experience of Christ. How can you, after experiencing Jesus, get back to Judaism? When Jesus was made real to you by signs and wonders and mighty deeds that the Spirit of God was doing among you, you saw Christ alive, doing stuff. He said, how can you people abandon faith in Christ and move back to the laws of Moses? He said, you have lost what? Your mind. The only crazy people do stuff like that. He said, he that worked miracles among you, was it not by hearing of faith? He gave you the Spirit. Was it not by hearing of faith? How can you drift back to the law? He said, this. He said, so I've lost everything. All my labor is in vain. I like the message. He said, only crazy people do what you do. And look at what Paul said in Romans 15:18. For I will not dare to speak. I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ had not what? Wrought by me. He said, there are things that Jesus, remember, about this time, Jesus wasn't physically there. But he was referring to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Christ that was doing this thing. He called him Christ. Remember, Paul didn't see Jesus physically. So now he said, for I will not dare to speak of those things which Christ had not what? Wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word. Indeed, we bring them the word. The Spirit of God brings the word and brings them into experiential knowledge of the reality of the living Christ. That's what he was telling the Gentiles. He said the Spirit was walking among you people now. He said you saw what he was doing. How can you? Can you put this in New Living Translation? For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ had not. New Living Translation. We wanted very much to come to you and these people are Gentiles. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ. Oh my God. That's okay. Let's move on. Yet I dare not speak. I dare not boast about anything except what Christ what has done through me. He recognized the activity of the Spirit of God through him. That wasn't Paul. If you go and read the writings of Paul, when he was writing to Corinthians, he said, I'm among you in fear and trembling. He said, I'm unhappy so. So your faith will not be in me, but in the power of God. So you know it's not Paul. It's not Paul. It's the Spirit of God. It's Christ doing this. So he said, except what Christ has done through me, bringing the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I walked what? among them, the things that Christ did among them. He brought reality of Christ to them. He brought reality of Jesus to them. He brought reality of Jesus to them. This morning, he will bring the reality of Jesus to you. Only few of you could say amen to that. Reality of who are you expecting? Christ. Can I say a bigger amen now?
Amen.
And so the enemy, knowing that, will try to throw in some hindrances for sure. You understand? He will try to hinder you and I from developing intimacy with Jesus Christ and his spirit. Look at what Paul said, 1 Thessalonians 2:18. We wanted very much to come to you. And I, Paul, tried again and again. But Satan prevented us. Again and again. Again and again. Paul, the apostle, said again and again. He prevented us. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believed not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. I want to show you something. I know exactly what the Lord showed me. If you are playing basketball, right? You know basketball, now? We didn't used to call it basketball. My mother played it then. Netball. It was for women. I'm not telling lies. Netball was only for... My mother was playing it. We were not watching it. We didn't know it was money. If I knew, I would have started that time. They call it basketball, but it's netball. Now, everybody in that field, what are they watching? Everybody in that game, what are they watching? If you take away the ball, what happens in the field? God stops. That's how Jesus is. That's what the Holy Spirit said. Looking unto, he is the key thing. You can't play that game when you take your eyes off the ball. And the Spirit of God is the only one who will show you where the ball is. Can't. That's what we try to do. We have all these imaginations in our head and stuff, thinking we are doing stuff that God is to say. That's the victory. Is that ball. Once you take away Christ, game over. In any circumstance, he said, without me, you can do nothing. In any circumstance, you replace him with your fasting, with your prayer, with your whatever. Those are not the ball. Those are not the ball. He's the ball. You replace him with, it's easy to do that because it looks religious. But those things are wonderful if he inspires them. If he motivates them. For the flesh will profit you what? Nothing. And if he's the one motivating them, then that's part of the work he's doing to reveal himself. Praise the Lord. Am I communicating anything? The Bible says in Ephesians that when we were without Christ, we were without hope. Without any covenant, without any blessing, nothing. You take away that ball, game over. Forget it. It's over. And so he will want to hinder us, blind us from seeing the ball, blind us from seeing Jesus, give us another focus, mostly religious things we do, upon which we put our faith, upon which we put our confidence, and those things are sinking sand. Because only Christ is the rock upon which we put our faith. And so, now, the Lord told us in the Revelation chapter 12, he says that the devil is coming with great fury upon the earth in these last days, and he is doing that. He's really doing that. You want to know what's going on? Check the world in which we live. Check the world in which we live now. Was I not telling you on Thursday how two children killed their mother? 12-year-old child and 14. The 14-year-old shot her. The 12 shot her, the 14 stabbed her in the neck and left the knife there. And they pushed the woman, covered her to deceive people. The previous day, they wanted to run her dead with the car. She escaped. What did she do? She seized their cell phone. That's all. the murderer, 12-year-old, 14. There are many things unreported going on in this country. And I'm telling you, my brothers, if you think the school would train your children, you have another thinking coming. I'm begging you, take your Christianity seriously. We're living in a very dangerous times. Very dangerous times. Even pastors are falling. Churches are crumbling. Shake around you. Denominations are going berserk and heaven. All of a sudden, they are marrying woman, but talking rubbish. And so the Lord said to us, he said, when these things is happening, he said, they overcame him with what? They are not talking. They overcame him with what? And what again? And they did not care about their life. They were bold. They were not afraid. God has not given us the spirit of fear. He said, these three things. They overcame with the blood of the Lamb. They overcame with the word of their testimony. And a lifeless, bold, fearless faith. If I perish, perish. That kind of faith. But we need to understand that if the Bible says we overcome with the blood of the Lamb, then that is true. Absolutely true. Do you know? And now I understand it very well. That the great revivals that have been recorded, great revival, the Azusa great revival that was led by Seymour, who was a slave African-American. And they didn't even have money. They started their service in a rundown place using cotton. He would stand on cotton as pulpit. And there were people, nobody would call them anything. Brethren, they knew something. They knew the power and the blood of Jesus. I read about it. That God gave them a revelation of the power and the blood of Jesus. And they were singing mostly all these songs about the blood of Jesus. You know, have you been to Jesus for that cleansing power? Are you what? And they were singing all the time, there is power. They focused on the blood. And because they did, church, listen to me. Because they did, the power of devil was knocked out. And the outpouring was flowing into that place. Because the devil can hinder you and stop what God wants to do. And then they talked about the Brownsville revival. I heard the pastor himself. I heard him himself. Father's Day service. This Father's Day, pastor, it will happen here too. Father's Day service, to say the grace, the power of God came, carried their pastor, dropped him here, carried the wife, dropped him here. It took the man three months to get himself back. For 3 solid months, he couldn't wear his trousers. The people would carry him from that place to his house. They were feeding him. Both him and the wife. 3 solid months. The power came and hit that church. 4.5 million people came there, gave their lives to Christ. That's the move of God. Brownsville Revival in Florida. Go and read about it. And then God moved him from that church to another place. The same revival. Hit this place. Hit that place. The same thing repeated there. But I heard the pastor say this. He said, the blood of Jesus played a key role in that move of God. I said, really? I went to the scripture. I said, they overcame him with what? I said, yeah. And I heard Yonggi Cho, who pastored the biggest church in the whole world, sharing the secret of his church. He said that he went to Japan to preach. He wasn't making any, they wouldn't even believe him. They would tell him, "What you are bringing us Western religion. We have our own Buddhism. What are you talking about?" And they said, "No," but he said he came up with this idea. He loaded all their leaders in a jumbo jet and brought them to Korea. He said something happened. As soon as they landed on Korean soil, they all gave their lives to Christ. All of them. He said, but when they were back in Japan, they couldn't. As soon as they landed on Korean soil, he said, all of them were born instantly, all of them. No more argument, all of them. You know the difference? In Japan, they were being hindered by that demon walking in Japan. But when they came to Korea, he said, because Korean Christians have fought the thing off. So he wasn't operating in their area. So he said that was why evangelism was easy. People were coming to the Lord. You could have a church of almost 700,000. He said every day, thousands are giving their love to it because the spirit that is sending this thing, the church took care of it. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. That's why I plead the blood over my grandchildren. I named them one by one. From my little angel to all of them. Ogemo. I named her, named Amarachukwu, I named CJ, I named my sons, named my wife. I plead the blood over them, plead the blood over me, and I come to the church. I plead the blood over from the pastors to leaders to me. Everywhere I'm pleading the blood, I'm pleading the blood. The Lord told me to do that. That's how he began to show me this. I will do it. He said, every morning I want you to go to that church before service, pray the blood of Jesus. I will do that. I will pray the blood over this compound. I didn't know what was happening. And then the Lord told me, he said, do you know you've been under attack since November? I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, you landed in the midst of them. He didn't know where I brought you. Right in the smack in the midst of them. Because I want to deal with them. And I realized, immediately we came, one woman here started, you come here saying unprintable things. But as you'll be kind of, here, come here, trying to say things I can't even repeat. And he told me, he said, that's why I told you, I said, plead the blood every service, every time. You overcome with the blood of the Lamb. Can I hear amen? Brethren, I'm telling you, plead the blood of Jesus over you. We live in perilous times. Don't joke with scripture. Don't do I too know. Do it. Plead the blood over yourself, over your children. Don't say my children are married. Continue. Because if trouble comes there, it's coming back. My wife told me a story yesterday. Very wonderful. And God brought that story to illustrate this. She has a relation. She has had miscarriage how many times? 2 times. That's the sister's daughter. Yeah. So she has had miscarriage about 2 times. And then it's now 5 months. At the 5th month, the baby will go 5th month. And then she now called my wife. Or you called her. And then she began to talk. And my wife began to feed her scripture. And then she finally called her. He said, Auntie, I didn't know anything. He said, now my eyes is opening. So he started to listen to sermons and he said, wow. He said, I've been so ignorant. And my wife told her, I said, plead the blood of Jesus over you and over your house. Listen to this story. She's pregnant again. This is 8 months. Listen, the husband went and brought a house help that will help them. Getting ready for the baby. The house help came in the morning. The girl said, I can't stay here. I'm going home. They sent her home. Brought another boy. And the girl said, I kept bleeding the blood all over my house. In the morning, the boy said, I can't stay here. I'm going home. They took this boy to the motor park. Listen to this story. Somebody she doesn't know came to her and said to her, send this boy home. He has unfinished what? He said, his mission is an accomplished. Send him home. And he said, I never met this man before. He just told me, I saw, I didn't see this person again. But this same boy said, I can't stay in this house one more day. I can't. And somebody said, his mission is what? Unaccomplished. And my wife said, I don't want any more house help there. Get your baby, stay at home, take care of your children. Supposing she didn't know how to fight back, how to fortify her home with the blood of Jesus, maybe something, boom, just like that. They lose the blessing God gave. God said, They overcame him with what? Don't look down on that. I'm begging you. You say, why should I plead it? Because you, the word of your testimony is what you fight with. You testify. You say, yes, this blood was shed for me. I plead it. You have to appropriate it. God said to Joshua, this word of the Lord shall not depart from where? Your mouth. You speak, you do what? You meditate on it, what? That night. You say, didn't the scripture tell us, if you are redeemed, sis, if the blood redeemed you, also declare it. Another scripture says, declare thou, and that shall be justified. Declare thou, declare thou. Everybody say that. Come on, say it loudly. Declare thou, and thou shall be justified. So I declare it every day. I plead the blood of Jesus. I declare the power of the blood over me. And I said to the devil, the scripture says that when you see the blood, you pass over me. You pass over my children. You don't touch my grandchildren. You don't touch any of my children. You don't touch anybody in this church. You don't touch any of our pastors. You don't touch any of our buildings. I begin to declare. I declare with bold faith. Declare with violent faith. That says, I believe in what I am saying, Satan. Sneaking around. You're not getting any of it. And my wife told me, he said, my husband, he said, since you taught us this now, the parameter, I started doing it. He said, no more. Right? Another sister came, not even a member of the church, but comes to parameter. He said, Pastor, can I come? I said, no, stay in your church. But you can come for prayer meeting. I don't leave your church. She testified. He said, since I got this revelation, no more fear, no more, all these useless dreams, nothing. Gone. Exodus 12:13. The blood shall be for a token or sign to you upon the dust post of the houses where you are, that when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague, no plague, church, and no plague. Which translation is this? Okay. Is that the same? And no plague. Everybody say, no plague. Come on, no plague shall be upon you to destroy. Which means anything that destroys. Anything that flu, whatever. I don't know flu season, I don't care. The blood. I plead it morning, afternoon, I don't care. But let me tell you, and sometimes when I feel moved, when I sense in my spirit that it's time, I start pleading. I can be pleading it before I go to bed. I don't make religion out of it. I try to do that in the mornings. But sometimes in the afternoon, sometimes in my car, sometimes in the evening, I start pleading it over myself. Plead everywhere. Hebrews 11:28. Through faith, it is faith. You do it with faith. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. It's faith. Now, in the same Hebrews 12:24, call the blood of Jesus the blood of sprinkling. Blood of sprinkling. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of what? Sprinkling, that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. 1 Peter 1:2. Elect. Am I communicating at all? 1 Peter 1:2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. I plead it every day. The blood of sprinkling. I sprinkle it with my mouth. The Bible says it's a token. It's token is something that represents the real. Yeah, the blood was shed on Calvary, but I put my token there. Am I not the house? Are you not the house of God? That I should put the blood on you? Matthew 12, 37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Isaiah 43, 26. Isaiah 43, 26, King James Version. Put me in remembrance. God doesn't forget. God is saying, just say what I said. It's not that God forgets anything. Just say, put me in remembrance. Say what I told you. Repeat it. Say it. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. You know, declare your case. Then he said, declare thou. Declare thou. Declare thou. That thou mayest now be justified. Declare it. Say it, what God said. I overcome with the blood of the Lamb. Declare it. Declare thou. Now, I told them this at the prayer meeting. What the Lord told me. It's amazing. How God teaches is amazing. He said to me, he said, you know what lawyers do in court? You know why you pay lawyers? Eh? Partly to tell a lie. If you tell them that, I'll deny you. No, not to tell a lie. Don't worry, I'm joking. No, they don't tell lies. They follow the law. The lawyer comes to court to declare the status written in the book on your defense. That's all the lawyer does. You don't know law. So he comes to declare the status. This is what is written. He declares it before the judge to give the judge reason why you should be set free. Now, how many of you know the Fifth Amendment? What is the Fifth Amendment? No. What is the Fifth Amendment? Now, you went and took American passport. You don't know the Fifth Amendment? What is the Second Amendment? Right to bear arms and to protect the government can take your home and put soldiers there. Then the Fifth Amendment is right not to say something that will incriminate you. And then another one is also right what? Double jeopardy. You can't be tried for the same thing that you've been convicted of twice. It's called double jeopardy law. Can't do it in America. Once you are convicted of a court, that's it. Done. Now, see what the Lord told me. He said, if you go to court or the police stops you, he said, how will the Fifth Amendment work for you except you plead it? So suppose you keep quiet. Even though the law is in the status book and it's for your own defense and benefit, he said, it won't work unless you open your mouth and tell the officer, I plead the Fifth. He said, if you don't plead the blood, even though it's powerful, it will stay there. He said, if officer stops you, the status book gives you the right not to say anything. But you keep quiet there because you came from a club, you just came. And you're admiring the officer's uniform. So you see the badge, whoa. So this is how police is. It's not like our court, man. They will take you to court, put you in jail. Why there's a status in the book that would have saved you from putting yourself in trouble? But you didn't plead it, you didn't activate it, you didn't say so. Now, they catch you and you say to the officer, I'm not saying anything. I plead what? The Fifth. The officer knows, you are pulling up what is in the status book and pleading it in that circumstance. It goes into effect for you. That stops the officer right away. Say, okay, you have a right to get a lawyer. Say, sure, I'm not saying anything. So now, these avengers come. You keep quiet. And say, remember me. Remember me, oh remember me, oh Lord, remember, remember. No, you stand up and say, I plead the blood of Jesus to put you, stop you in your track right away. It is written, when you see the blood, you pass over. You activate what is in the status right away. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. If you get a shout hallelujah, it's up to you what you practice. But I know it works for me. It works for me all the time. It has never failed. When they hit, I hit them back. Sometimes it's confrontational for a while, but victory is for sure. The Lord told me, say, keep saying it. Say, the more you say, the more you weaken them. The more you say, the more you say, keep saying it. No, he said, don't stop. knocked me out of time, and so I will stop here. Next Sunday, I will continue. Praise the Lord. Remember what we said. When God gives you the word, don't what? It's not entertaining you. It's something to think about. So you can bounce. Lord, thank you for what you shared. Help me to really understand more. And you go home, meditate on it. The more you do that, the more you get more out of it. Because the essence is not to entertain you, it's to arm you. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. I want us to bow our heads. And I want you to think and pray, talk to the Lord.